Welcome back to the Wise Divine Woman, where I help you go from fed up to faith fueled, helping you to become the wise divine woman that you are called to be. Today, I have Casey Head, and she is this just bright ray of sunshine. She's amazing. I love the work that you do. And please tell me what brought you on this journey, what your purpose is, and how you're reaching those goals.
So I am a three-time cancer survivor, and I now am a cancer coach, and that is what I do. I'm a trauma-informed cancer coach that helps other women become healthier, happier, and living a life without fear again. And because of that, that is my mission. That is my purpose from going through everything that I did. So, you know, there's so much you don't really... Oh, sorry about that.
No, go ahead. No, I was going to say that is so amazing. And it's such a an uphill journey for sure that you've gone on.
Yeah, and I don't wish it on anyone. And, you know, there's just not enough support for us afterward. Mentally, physically, or emotionally, there's just not enough. I really struggled afterward. After surviving, right? And so I just had to like hodgepodge things together, and it was not beautiful. It was not pretty. And I wish I had someone that I could go ask questions with and all of these things, because as a byproduct, one of the things that I would say most women don't know is that because of treatment, they can be thrust into menopause. And that doesn't include being on hormone blockers that will medically induce that. I learned that lesson very quickly at 35. And the only thing that I knew, honestly, Dana, was hot flashes and weight gain. And so yeah. I knew I had to figure that one out, because I was like, well, if a key vital role in not getting cancer again and prevention is weight management, I'm going to be in trouble at 35 if I plan to even live to 60, because that's, you know, 30, almost 30 years. And I was like, even if I gain 1 pound a year, that's an extra 30 pounds by the time I'm 60. Can my body support that, right? So
yeah. That's amazing. So what cancer did you have?
I had acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is technically a children's cancer. And I just happened to have it at 31, which is extremely rare. I think only about 1,500 people globally get diagnosed with it within my age range with that disease. And so, yeah, it was an uphill battle from the get-go, and it was a lot.
And so tell me, what you had to go into hormone blockers, what types of hormone blockers, and what were the side effects?
So I personally did not. I work with a lot of women who go through breast cancer, right? Or have an estrogen driven cancer. And so they need to be on some sort of hormone blocking medication or aromatase inhibitor that will block the estrogen production, which as a byproduct of that puts you in menopause. As a byproduct of that, like a lot of women experience everything that you experience with menopause plus, right? Like, cause it's so aggressive.
And yeah, it is.
And I was like, I need to figure out menopause, because just because of health wise, I'm like, I don't want to put myself at risk. I don't want to go on hormone therapy, which is what was recommended for me, because they wanted to induce my progesterone and my estrogen to give me a period, basically. And I was like, so I just got done putting in my body chemotherapy, radiation, a stem cell transplant, immunotherapies, and you want me to now like mess with my hormones? And I was like, I guess. And the minute I went on them, I knew I had to get off. Like nothing felt right.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So then when you're coaching women on these aspects, how are you advising them to really approach those methodologies that they're using or the therapies that they're using to, because it is a little scary. And I question it sometimes. I always tell them to always advise their doctors and really research or reach out to more of a functional medicine doctor. But again, it is this aspect of, to me, I'm like, you kind of need those hormones for your brain function and the rest of the functions of your body. You never stop producing them. You're always at a lower level, but it is vital to the function of the body head to toe. And how is this affecting them?
The most common is they kind of mimic what you're already going through in menopause, but it's mm-hmm. intensified. So a lot of it's joint pain, a lot of it's weight gain, a lot of it is their sleep is being disrupted, not feeling like themselves, like some anxiety, depression can get exacerbated because of that, along with, you know, urinary incontinence and all these other things that as a byproduct of menopause cause, right? And so it, in my experience working with women, all of the normal signs and symptoms just become magnified. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly great to be on them. A lot of women that are on them are like, I only have 5 years. And then they stretch it out to 10 or 20, you know, because all the research keeps changing. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the camp of, you need to do whatever you need to do to support your body. And if this is what you feel you need to do, keep doing it. If not, don't, then don't. Like, either way you go, now we have to deal with it. And thankfully, like through diet, exercise, lifestyle changes, supplements, that we can help reduce these signs and symptoms the best we can, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because our bodies are forever different. And it's like learning again how to like use a body you've not been used to.
It's so true. And exactly, a body that just doesn't respond like it used to, our mind that doesn't respond like it used to either. And again, it is a that aspect of, as you say, it is a mind body nutrition and movement, and it has to be addressed in all aspects of those of that. So how much do you think that the trauma aspect of things plays a role not only in sort of disease manifestation, but then how does it, you think it affects their menopausal transition?
I think it greatly affects everything. You know, less than 7% of cancer diagnoses are genetic right now. Obviously, we don't have the entire genetic genome mapped out yet, so I'm sure that number will fluctuate, but right now, what we know is what we know. I think trauma greatly impacts disease, and the data doesn't lie. Like the adverse childhood experience data, it's been out for a long time. It's one of the largest studies that gathers this information. And if you've had a traumatic childhood, you are 78% likely to be diagnosed with some sort of cancer. That's crazy.
That is astounding. Astounding. Yeah. I never knew that, but that makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah. Because you're dysfunctioning from a very young age and you're continuing to do that, right? Like you don't just mm-hmm. stop because you become 18, you know, all those coping mechanisms keep with you and stay with you unless you heal them. The other really drastic data point that I found was if you've had a cancer diagnosis within the past 2-ish years is about what they said, 97% of people have gone through something traumatic, which is wild.
Mm-hmm. And we've not been giving the coping skills, and we certainly don't have enough therapists out there for 90%. 97% of people. And again, it is, we've not been taught well to process or accept or just move through the process rather than just shoving it down deep and moving forward like it never happened. So I can completely understand that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I grew up in a household where if it happened, you didn't talk about it. It just happened and you kept going. Mm-hmm. Like emotions were not encouraged, all those things. Right. But also I think that also impacts your recovery. So you've been carrying this trauma with you, you get cancer, which is another trauma, and then you're supposed to recover, but your body's dysfunctioning because it's not getting the right hormone balance inside of it naturally. And then though all of those menopausal symptoms can exacerbate, like a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. And, you know, it's not something you can just like snap your fingers and like shove down and get over. In my
opinion. That's for sure. Yeah, no, there's not at all. And it is very difficult. And a lot of us think we're just losing our minds and or just saying, oh, it's just menopause, rather than being objective and stepping back and looking at your surroundings, your environment, what you're ingesting and how you're processing everything, really takes its toll. And then again, going back to exactly what you said, you never had anyone to come alongside, and that's what's lacking a lot of. And it is just coming alongside and cheerleading and advising and being a sounding board and offering suggestions and just being there for them to, you know, say right or wrong or that they're doing the right thing. And yeah, it can be a lot. And it's nice that people like yourself are out there saying and offering these choices for women.
So, I agree. And there's not enough.
No, and there's not enough. There's not enough mental health as well. So, again, for 90% of the population, there's definitely not enough therapists. And it only takes a certain type of person that can become that sort of psychological therapist rather than just being like a cheerleader, nutritionist, coach type of idea. So it's a lot, and it's a broken world, and we're all trying to put the pieces together and move forward and try to be supportive for one another and not let the craziness of the world, you know, continue to make those sort of impacts on our lives. So it's always something that, you know, you have to sort of learn to breathe and process and such. So in your program, and what is it that you exactly coach? How do you do that?
So it's a 13-week program, and we do weekly coaching calls because community is such a vital part of recovery and processing through knowing you're not alone and you've got other mm-hmm. women right by your side to talk with, to talk it out. So we meet once a week. There's also 4 one-on-one opportunities with me, to really dive deep into the trauma. So we address the trauma within the program, through journaling, through movement. I'm a yoga for trauma certified practitioner, somatics. So we do a lot of that within the program, but there's so much you gain so much and can move the needle a lot further when you have somebody right there with you to support you when you're in it. Right. And mm-hmm. That's kind of the point, is like to trigger, then to come down and regulate again and learning how to do that. Right. And to process through the trauma, so you don't keep carrying it with you. And we go deep, like we go into coping mechanisms. We go into, you know, all of it. And it's also diet and exercise, right? You know, I always say, like, you can eat the healthiest, the healthiest diet in the world. You can exercise every single day and have that down pat. But if you do not address your emotional and mental state, you can still be unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. You and me are a lot alike, because that's exactly what I say. I say, you can eat the most organic food in the entire world, I don't care what you tell me. But if you are not, I would say if you're not getting yourself out of fight or flight, if you're not pausing and breathing, if you're not running, if you don't stop running from the bear, you might as well not even eat because it's not processing. You're not digesting. You're not absorbing the beautiful food that you just spent so much money on organic food for. It's just so important, right? You have to address the stressors. You have to. Mm-hmm. And if not, then you really have to learn some really beautiful techniques to pop yourself out of that spiral so that you can absorb and digest and allow that to happen. It's to say the same with even though the supplements, the amount of money people spend on supplements is phenomenal to me. And it's just like, you're not even digesting a single thing. Like your body is just not, they don't care. Your body doesn't care mm-hmm. at all. And it's, I'm always like, I don't know what to say. So I love the somatics and I love the yoga for trauma and I love that. And it's such a practical, easy aspect, but it's this, people need to just like on the whim, they have to recognize when they're spiraling. They have mm-hmm. to recognize that they have the power to change the moment. And I love how you're so full rounded in teaching that. And I love that myself because it is this tool belt of things you need to have prepared for yourself in the whim. If you're, you know, stuck in traffic, there's lots of things you can do when you're stuck in traffic. And it is just getting back to basics. Honestly, it's that simple sometimes. So
it is. And most people who have been dysregulated for so long don't even know how good it feels to be inside of their body mm-hmm. when they're not dysregulated. Like it blows their minds because I can see it kind of like happening and they're like, woo, they feel that relief for the first time mm-hmm. and their whole face like changes. And I'm like, okay, we hit something. We did good today.
Yeah. It's so rewarding, isn't it? When you, mm-hmm. when they have those aha moments or they know that they can do this. And I think it's absolutely, I think it's a really incredible moment that we share with clients.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. So as you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you find other than the somatic work and the movement and such, what do you find a pivotal moment for women trying to recover from cancer, trying to break through these traumatic episodes and in recovery, what do you find the most remarkable sort of pivotal moment in their lives during the 13 weeks?
Yeah, I would say around week three, because week two is really heavy in journaling. We dive into like the coping mechanisms that have gotten us here and, you know, all of the stories that we tell ourselves that may or may not be true. And we unpack a lot of the trauma that we've carried with us, right? So, mm-hmm. and then week three is kind of like we get more out of the brain and emotions and into the body of the emotions. And so those 2 weeks combined together, that's where I usually see the transformation. I see it in them. They can't really see it yet, but I see it in them. And then I see clients start to smile for the first time. I can see them show up lighter. There's just like a lot of little things that I can see now that I've been doing this for a while. But around it, it's really actually quite fast because of the process that I have been able to refine over the years.
Right. I love that. I think it's incredible. And exactly, even if it's all online or is it in person online?
It's all online. It's through video, audio, and written form. So.
Yeah. So it is their face you see, and it is the changes. And in the structure or this eyes or the glitter in the eyes that just change and so many great things, right? Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So where can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at The Happier Hustle. And please reach out. Like it's me. You're not talking to anyone else. And that's it. It's just me.
I love that. So normally I end the podcast with a word of wisdom. What is something that you've learned that really was a breakthrough for you, that is something that you share? Because as women transitioning into wisdomhood, as I call it, I'm trying to teach women how to share, how to become sages, how to become wiser and be that person that they turn to. So what is a word of wisdom that is on your heart today that you love to share?
Always prioritize your health. You know, I thought I was doing that before I got sick, and whoa, boy, I was completely missing the mark, not just with diet and exercise, but mental and emotional health as well. Like, I just kept trying to ignore things that were right there below the surface that were, I knew were there, but I was like, I don't want to deal with it, right? No one wants to. Mm-hmm. But cancer forced me to, and I'm so grateful I did.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing today, Casey. I think it's an incredible journey that you've been on. I think that you have just transformed into this wonderful therapy practitioner that allows not only to for yourself to be transparent, but for you to share and walk along because you've been there with them. And I think that the movements and the breath and the food and the nutrition aspect of things, I think is incredible. I'm sure the program is just phenomenal, and you've seen some incredible changes in so many, and you've changed the mental health for so many women across America and probably the world. And I'm so happy that we've connected, and I'm so happy to share you with others.
Well, thank you. I'm very grateful that I'm with you to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I'm so glad that you've done that. It's two very important things, not only cancer care, but then the trauma aspect of things. And I think it's incredible. And I can't wait to share you with my community.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Casey. Have a great day today. Enjoy the beautiful weather. And thank you. Thank you for joining me on the Wise Divine Woman podcast. I hope you enjoyed today. All the information will be in the show notes today. Thank you. And I hope that you have a glorious day today.